Jason and the Beanstalk. Written by Hearts Logos. Read by Opal Song. Fandom DCU. Rating teen and up. Relationship Tim Drake, Jason Todd. Also tagged for alternate universe fantasy, alternate universe modern setting. Recorded for Ariok 6 for ITPE 2018. Part 3 of the Fairy Tales Lie series. Overnight, a giant beanstalk grows out of nothing. Okay, a seed, some dirt, and probably a shit ton of magic or chemicals in the middle of Gotham suburbs. Jason was not aware that Gotham had suburbs until Bruce called him in and told him they are now, apparently, under his jurisdiction and therefore his problem. What the fuck am I supposed to do about it? It'd take years for Jason to cut the fucker down, and he'd probably get fined a shit ton of money if he tried to burn the thing. Besides, why does it have to be me? Bruce just looks at him. Jason sighs and doesn't quite stomp away, but he does slam the door when Bruce calls out, "At least it isn't a giant marijuana plant." Jason flips him off on the way out and swears to God that Bruce does this shit for entertainment. "So, what's your plan of attack?" Dick says as Jason goes through the armory. "Giant plant that reaches the lower troposphere before we stop being able to see it? Are you gonna torch it, hack at it, feed it weed killer?" Dick sounds way too entertained. "I don't know, Dick. I was thinking of maybe holding on to it and singing it to sleep, clipping the dead leaves once in a while," Jason snaps. "There is literally nothing here that is going to help me." Dick raises an eyebrow in a way that makes Jason want to run the fuck away. "You know who's good at this kind of thing?" "No, but you're going to tell me, aren't you?" "It's a magic plant, Jason, that came out of nowhere. Now, who do we know who's good with magic, "Are you fucking kidding me?" "No, I'm not asking Tim for help." No, Dick, stop smiling like a serial killer and be productive. "I'm not going to call him up for every single fucking..." "We managed without him before. We'll manage without him now. What's wrong with a little work?" Dick rolls his eyes. "Okay, fine. I'm just saying this could go so much faster if you would pull your head out of your ass and shove a sharp, pointy object up yours." The thing is bigger in person than it is in pictures. Like, ridiculously bigger. Jason cranes his neck up at it. The shadows of the leaves block out the light for whole blocks. Jason squints at the thing. He wonders if it'll wither and die if he just glares at it long enough. It's worked on lots of his problems before. Glaring them into submission, he means. If only it could be that simple. Jason stabs his knife into it. He barely gets in a centimeter, and that's using the full force of gravity plus his body weight. Jason swears under his breath. His phone buzzes in his pocket. He knows without looking, it's Dick. He just knows. Dick has an asshole radar that he isn't afraid to own up to. Jason still doesn't know why everyone looks at him like he's the punk. The phone stops buzzing. Then it starts again. Jason pulls it out, answers, "Fuck off." "Excuse me?" Bruce says, and Jason flinches. "I thought you were Dick. Well, sometimes you're a dick, but not the point. What's up, boss?" "Are you at the plant right now?" "Yeah," Jason kicks it. "Do you have any idea on how you're going to handle this?" "Aside from with fire, blood, sweat, tears, and with a loss of dignity?" Bruce hangs up. Welcome to Jason's life. Jason's been standing and staring at the plant for about an hour, kicking it every so often and making bitch faces at his cell phone before he finally gives in. He rolls his eyes skyward, imagines Dick's smug face, and hisses, "I hope you're fucking happy," and holds his hand out. He closes his eyes, focuses on how much he just wants to get this over with, how fucking crazy a fucking giant plant in the middle of the suburbs he didn't know existed growing overnight is. This is not what he signed up for. And he thinks about Tim. And maybe he's busy. He can't say he didn't try now. And then his fingers are closing around a wrist, which is attached to a person. Which Drake, Tim, blinks at him, turns around, gapes at the giant plant, turns back to him, back to the plant, and then back to him. What is wrong with your life? You know, it's really sad when you've got witches asking what the fuck is wrong with you. What do I do about the giant plant? Beanstalk. It's a beanstalk. Jason raises an eyebrow. Tim raises one back. I like to garden. Tim's eyes drop down. Are you planning on letting go anytime soon? Jason looks down, and his fingers are still curled around Tim's wrist. He lets go. Sorry, but anyway, giant beanstalk that appeared overnight without any known cause. What do I do? Well, has it hurt anybody? No. Does it look like it's going to hurt somebody? It's a plant. It doesn't look like it's going to do anything. Then why do you have to get rid of it? Jason stares. It grew in the middle of the fucking suburbs overnight. I think that's a cause for concern. You know, giant plants appearing out of nowhere. I would think that a giant plant would come from a giant seed, metaphorical nowhere, without any warning. But it could be a tourist attraction. Finally, something positive to say about Gotham. Tim protests, gesturing at the beanstalk. And think about all the houses you could build on this. Think about how much carbon dioxide this will balance out, and the shade it'd give. Plants are our friends, Jason. Jason raises an eyebrow. Tim falters. Well, what do you want me to do about it? I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to do about it. I just know that there's magic going on, and apparently I should make use of all the resources at my disposal. They both turn to look at the beanstalk. So, is there anything you can tell me about this thing, aside from the fact that it's a beanstalk and has many varied uses? Well, it was probably made by a giant. Jason's head snaps to Tim, who's just frowning up at the plant. Which is another thing. I thought you guys are witch hunters. What are you doing hunting giants? Did you just say giant? Excuse. Giants? Giants exist? Giants are a thing? What? Tim turns to blink at him. It's a giant beanstalk that grew from, probably, a giant bean. It's only logical to assume a giant put it here or something. Giants. Jason stares up at the stalk. I didn't sign up for this bullshit. He feels Tim's hand rest on his shoulder. If it makes you feel better, I didn't either. Jason breathes, and he focuses. And because this is, apparently, his life, he turns to Tim. Okay, so how the fuck do I get rid of the giant and the giant beanstalk? Tim blinks at him. What? I'm sorry. I thought I just heard you ask me how you get rid of a giant and his giant beanstalk. I must be hearing things. You heard me talking. You heard me ask how I get rid of a giant and his giant beanstalk. Tim gapes at him. And yes, I'm being 100% serious. The Red Hood does not back down from a challenge. Jason turns back to the beanstalk. Even if it is a giant. He hears Tim smack his palm against his forehead. Ugh, of all the people in the world to be bound to, I had to be bound to the most reckless idiot. Rude. I couldn't be bound to a librarian or something. I'll have you know that one of the best hunters I know is a librarian. No, it has to be the Red Hood. Would you rather it was Damien? I cannot even. Jason sighs as Tim continues his rant, interrupts in between garbled closed-mouthed screaming and garbled non-closed-mouthed screaming. Are you going to help me or not? Because if not, you can go away now. Tim shoots him an irritated look. You are so stupid. And he disappears. Jason stares at the empty air where he once was before sighing. Great. Jason's sort of, kind of, gotten a few dozen yards off the ground via grapple, some interesting acrobatics, and a whole lot of swearing. It's taken him 2 hours, and it feels like he hasn't made any fucking progress. He also, still, has no game plan for actually defeating the giant. Jason's looking around for the next place to aim the grapple when he hears a loud, deep rustle and turns to see a dragon. A fucking dragon! Like his life couldn't get any... Stop gawking and get on! Jason blinks. Tim glares at him from the back of said dragon. The dragon clings to the beanstalk next to Jason, claws easily digging into the stalk. Let's get this suicide run over with. Jason doesn't need to be told twice. So, do you have a plan? Tim asks, while Jason's still trying to pick up the pieces of his brain and force them back into working order. He is riding the back of a dragon through the troposphere in order to find and defeat a giant, which will hopefully cause the giant beanstalk to disappear, with the help of the witch that he's life-bonded to because he was sold for some fucking Rapunzel. His fucking life! Plants are out to ruin it. No, Jason replies. Where did you get the dragon? Nvidia is my familiar, Tim replies, and the dragon purrs underneath him. And she's a Wyvern. Didn't you ever learn the difference? While Jason is wrapping his mind around the fact that the witch he's bonded to for life has a dragon, Wyvern, for a familiar, why couldn't it be a fucking cat? Tim proceeds to explain the exact difference. Wyverns do not have front legs, but they have finger-like wingtips. They also have wider jaws, hind legs more similar to a bird's, narrower rib cages, longer and more streamlined bodies that are covered in leathery skin with fewer, thinner scales, and tend to come in more metallic, dull colors. They are also prone to eating metallic ores and, apparently, really like anything pumpkin-flavored. They also like belly rubs. A lot. Well then, fascinating. Traveling via Wyvern, they break past the clouds and find themselves at the top of the beanstalk within the next hour or so. They both practically fall off of her, and Jason's legs are kind of numb. Nvidia sniffs him, headbutts him, laughs when he almost falls on his ass, then pokes his butt with her tail. Don't worry, she's like that to all her new toys, Tim says, and Jason would worry about that if it weren't for the fact that he's currently staring at a giant house built on top of the giant beanstalk. So, did you come up with a plan? Because that would be a good idea, Tim says. NVIDIA curls up like a huge, and by giant, Jason means giant, like fill one of the Wayne Manor's fancy ballrooms and maybe spill out into the garden, huge cat. She blinks one bright, poisonous green eye at him. Jason blinks back at her. She starts steaming. Jason takes a step so that Tim is between him and the giant steaming wyvern. I was planning on winging it, considering the fact that I don't know what the fuck is happening. That's a horrible plan. I know. You can leave if you want to. But if I leave, then who's going to report your terrible death to your family? Jason glares at him. Tim stares back at him, all doe eyes and innocence. Has anyone told you that you're a horrible person lately? Tim smiles. There's a chicken. It lays golden eggs. Said golden eggs don't actually have anything inside them. Just magic. According to Tim, who holds one of the eggs in his palm and taps it with his wand. They're like little batteries. They don't hold enough magical energy to be troubling, but in large amounts? Tim jerks his head towards the door. They could be used to, say, fertilize and grow a giant beanstalk overnight. Fan-fucking-tastic, Jason mutters. So, if we get rid of the chicken, we're not killing the chicken. It's not the chicken's fault. Tim holds said chicken to his chest like a newborn baby. The chicken looks oddly smug. If we get rid of the chicken without killing it, Jason amends, will the beanstalk disappear? Tim shrugs. Probably. I mean, it's probably not sustaining itself entirely off Gotham sunlight and soil, if you know what I mean. I know what you mean. Gotham sunlight can barely support the sad little oak trees that are sometimes found on certain streets. Gotham soil probably has more abandoned meth in it than actual plant-growing nutrients. Okay. The plan is we take the chicken. Okay. But what about the giant? Still figuring that part out, Jason says, looking around the giant wooden expanse of floor. Do you have any suggestions? Poison, Tim says. Jason turns around. Tim shrugs. Well, it's not like you can put a bullet in his brain now, can you? Jason breathes out. Okay, how do I poison a giant? Well, I'd assume you'd do it the same way you'd poison anybody. I don't poison people. Tim's eyebrows shoot up. Really? You don't? Never? Jason just stares at him. Tim frowns. Not even a little bit? Come on, you're kidding me. You've got to at least once. It's a fundamental part of childhood. Like watching The Princess Bride or blowing out candles on a birthday cake or making voodoo dolls or giving your mom dried frog hearts for Mother's Day. What kind of fucked up childhood did you have? Jesus, no, I've never poisoned anyone. Tim just continues to stare at him like he thinks Jason is lying. Get the poison into their body somehow. The easiest way is through their mouth. Okay, what's poisonous to giants and how much do I have to use? And how do I get the poison in his mouth? Tim blinks. Those are all very good questions. He abruptly thrusts the chicken at Jason. Hold my chicken. And then he's gone. If we live through this, you owe me dinner. How do you figure? A giant is trying to eat us for dinner. If we get out of this, you get me dinner. I think it probably works out better in your head. Dinner, Jason. You owe me dinner. I do not plan on dying today. I do not plan on you dying today. Prior to learning that you were out to kill a giant, I had no plans for anyone dying with my involvement in any way today. You owe me. Okay, fine. Dinner. Can we not talk about this while we're trying to hide from a giant out for our blood? Jason's found the giant, found a way up to said giant and is staring at the ugly fucker with a sort of horror he normally reserves for Dick's attempts at baking. He's carrying a chicken under one arm and trying to figure out if the giant would be pissed if Jason shot him in the ear, or if he'd just not notice. Okay, so this might work, it might not, but at least no one can say we didn't try. Jason nearly drops the chicken when Tim reappears right next to him, carrying a giant burlap sack of something that smells a lot like something from the sewers. Whatever it is also sluggishly moving and leaking black goo. "Do I want to know?" Jason says. "Will I have to fine you, ticket you, or arrest you if I knew?" Tim blinks at him. "Is that a question you really want answered?" "No, it really, really isn't." "So this, it's gonna do the job?" "If this doesn't, nothing will," Tim replies, holding the sack out to him. Jason takes it, as Tim takes the chicken. "By the way, if you die, I want you to know that I promise not to reanimate your corpse and use it as my manual labor." "That's good to know. But I'm probably going to pick your brain. Literally." "Good to know?" Jason stares at the sack. "My life goal has always been to have my brain picked after I got killed by a giant in a magic house that somehow defies all logic by being built on a leaf of a giant beanstalk. That's the spirit." Whatever is in the sack does not kill the giant, but it wakes the dude up and it must taste as fucking awful as it looks and smells because he wakes up pissed as fuck. There's a lot of roaring, bellowing, angry swatting at Jason as he's running the fuck away, and swearing. Tim is, at least, helpful in that he fires some spells that distract the giant enough that he doesn't flatten Jason into a stain. "I'm not going to die a pancake," Jason snarls as they hide underneath the giant's bed. "I thought you said it'd do the job." "Give it a few minutes to kick in. It's slow acting," Tim replies. Jason turns to gape at him. "Slow acting? How slow? Because in case you didn't notice, he's kind of pissed off and there are only so many places in this one room house that he's going to look before figuring out where we are. And we aren't outrunning him anytime soon." "You are very panicky. Did you know that?" "I'm sorry that I panic when I'm about to die." "Death is only a temporary impediment if you know what you're doing." "I will wring your neck, I swear to God. For the record, fuck the record. This was all a terrible, horrible, awful idea, and I made that clear when you first dragged me into this." Tim is holding onto the chicken like a safety blanket. The chicken, for the most part, doesn't seem to mind. "Why, yes, I do like to think that I inspire awe. How have you even survived your life? Luck, bravado, chemical explosives, and cheeky comebacks," Jason snaps. There's a very sudden, very loud, very wet sounding plop. They both still, blinking at each other before moving to look around the foot of the bed they hid behind. The giant is, apparently, now a splatter of black, slowly moving goop. "What the fuck was that?" Jason whispers. Tim hums, blinking slowly. "Well, it was a giant." Tim passes him the chicken. "You owe me dinner." The end. Thank you. The music used in this podfic is Harp Song from Jack and the Beanstalk, The Real Story, 2001, arranged by White Tie TK. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!